Dear ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Deutsche Konsum REIT-AG telephone conference. At our customer's request, this conference will be recorded. As a reminder, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulties hearing the conference, please press star key followed by zero on your telephone for operator assistance. May I now hand you over to CEO Rolf Elgeti, who will lead you through this conference. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the telephone conference by Deutsche Konsum REIT-AG. We will very briefly present on the full year numbers that we published this morning. As you probably have seen, for our full year 2016-2017, there is a presentation on our website, deutsche-konsum.de, in case you haven't seen it. We might use one or two slides of it, but otherwise we'll briefly go through the highlights, and afterwards there'll be the opportunity for questions. I'll start off, and then I hand over to our CFO, Christian Hellmuth, in a second. What are the highlights of the last fiscal year? Very effective numbers in our view. Firstly, the annual net profit has gone up to over 37 million. More crucially, the rental income has increased by 68% to 19.2 million. That leads to an FFO for last year of 10.3 million. The AFFO, i.e. the FFO post capex, to just under 8 million euros. Of course, these numbers aren't fully representative of what's actually going on, because many of the properties were bought during the full year. If you were to analyze the current run rate of our properties, then you would get to a current run rate of FFO of just over 13 million euros. The investment properties on the balance sheet are now over 276 million euros worth. Our EPRA NAV crucially increased by nearly 60% to 6.26 per share. That's partly driven by improvements we've made on the operational level, namely rent increases and vacancy reductions, and partly to a general appreciation of the values in our accounts. Our net LTV currently stands at just under 43%. That's important because, as you know, under the German REIT legislation, our legal hard ceiling is 55%. The company's target is 50%, so we have some headroom here. We are likely to increase the LTV over the next weeks and months with a view to go to 50%, which also means, of course, that we will have some firepower for further acquisitions. The FFO forecast for the current fiscal year, i.e. from 2017 through September 18, is a range of 16 to 20 million. Why is it such a wide range? The explanation is that we, of course, don't know when exactly the transactions that we have notarized will close and from which month onwards the new rent will accrue. Therefore, again, I think it's more interesting if we actually look at the run rate of the business, and the forecast run rate for next year is 23 million euros. We have a very brief graphic vision of what has happened last year. That's on page number 6. You can all see those numbers, no point going through them. Let me just highlight a few things. I think the most important thing is that the FFO has increased by more than the rental income. In other words, the profitability of the business has improved. The second crucial thing is that the numbers on a per share basis have improved, so the FFO per share has improved, as well as the NAV per share has improved. So as we are driven by total return considerations on a per share basis, that's very important. It shows that the business is not just growing, that would be easy, but the business is growing in a very creative and profitable fashion, which of course is something we'd like to stick to. On page 7, we very briefly go through the verbal highlights of what happened last year. I just pick out a few of those. Most notably, in February, March, we've done a small capital increase, crucially a change to the prime standard stock market segment of of the Deutsche Börse, that is relevant not only because it means that we are voluntarily accepting the highest possible standards one could have in Germany, but also it is a precondition for entering the major indices, which for us are, of course, SDAX and the EPRA index. By the way, we've joined EPRA to kind of cross that bridge already. The acquisitions, they're mentioned here, but you know them from previous calls and presentations. I'd just like to highlight also that we managed to fully let the Dom Center in Greifswald. This, as you may remember, is an asset that we bought out of forced auction liquidation with almost half of the space vacant. So that's quite an operational achievement. If you look at the portfolio on page 9, again, you just see the key math. I'd just like to highlight not just the growth in the annualized rent, but more crucially, that the WALT, the weighted average lease term, has gone up slightly. That, of course, shows that we have been able to extend a lot of leases. Otherwise, of course, year on year, the WALT would have gone down by exactly one. So that's confirmation that our policy of buying average term leases with a view to extend them if and when necessary and appropriate is working. You see a number of the recent acquisitions on page number 10. We have presented on them in a very detailed fashion when we published those press releases. We're happy to take questions if you have them, but you see sort of the indicative pipeline here. The portfolio overview is on page 11, here which is showing the top 8 assets. Not a huge change to the last quarterly numbers, but you can see here most other the Greifswald assets where we, as I mentioned, had the operational success. For some others, as in Ludwigslust, top left corner, we managed to extend some key leases. We added the asset in Ober-Erkenschwick with over 10-year lease in this case to Tribunal to Kaufland, quite nice. And of course, you know that our Bitterfeld repositioning has worked quite profitably too. More crucially, on page 12, you see the rent contribution by tenants and by sectors. Very importantly, more than half of our rental cash flow comes from tenants that are in food retail. So we are a food retail anchored business. That is the key driver for our assets. That's why people come to these shops, and all the rest is almost piggybacking on that. You can see in terms of the tenant groups on the table, on the right-hand side of page 12, that we really are letting to the top quality names as far as credit risk and reputation and, of course, business models and customer reach, et cetera, et cetera. In German, basic retail is concerned, in other words, confirming that what we do is, whilst we may compromise on these things, we're not compromising on tenant quality at all. Page number 13 looks at this from a different perspective, which is on the left-hand side, my personal favorite chart, which is just counting how many lease points we have with the various tenants, and we've now, for the first time, added them up in the various groups. So that shows you here, for instance, that we've got almost 20 leases with the Tengelmann Group, 16 leases with the Rewe Group, and, of course, more than 25 with the Edeka Group, and you see the separate brands here. That's important to understand because that, in a way, is the key value driver, is that we have the same tenant again and again, or the same tenant group, and so we become a relevant partner for our tenants and they for us, and that means that the negotiations and the information sharing is a bit more even than would otherwise be the case. That's a key value driver. We are showing you on page 14 a few of our bigger projects where we've had some asset management work done or are in the process of. I mentioned Greifswald on paper, that's finished. Now we're just talking about bricks and mortar to actually finalizing this. That will be a very profitable investment for Deutsche Konsum REIT because obviously the value of the Greifswald asset will easily have doubled as a result of that. Then there's three smaller centers we're talking about here where we're basically looking into upgrading and extending expanding the existing tenants, improving the tenant mix. All three are kind of very sought after micro locations, mainly in the northeastern part of Germany, and we expect completion in the current fiscal year. Happy to take specific questions if there are any, but I don't want to bore you with anything before that. Those were kind of top-level highlights. I now hand over to Christian, our CFO, to run through some of the key numbers. Thank you.
Thank you, Rob. Also, hello from my side. I just want to give a short overview of the financial structure of Deutsche Konsum. Let's jump into page 17. Here we can see overall Deutsche Konsum is financed very stable and very conservatively. What we did during the last fiscal year, we have increased our debt by roughly 30 million. At the end of September, what we invested in new acquired assets. What we have experienced is that the bank gives us better conditions than we had before, so that lead us to a drop in the average interest of the loans, which is at the end of September roughly 2.4%. LTV, as Rolf mentioned, is below 43% at the moment, which is widely below our target of 50%. It gives us room to take new loans. What we are going to do within the next couple of months, this is why we have a refinancing project at the moment. So we are going to refinance at first two short-term loans of roughly 30 million. And we are very optimistic to close this transaction by the end of the year. Moreover, we are taking new loans with other banks as well, up to 60 million total volume. And at the end of the day, when these transactions are closed, we are going to have an average interest rate of loans by circa 2%, which is a significant improvement compared to the prior year. On the right-hand side, the box shows our bank portfolio at the moment. So as you know, we are working together with local banks very closely because processes are very lean there and conditions are also very competitive. Moreover, in the course of the refinancing, we are also working together with bigger corporate banks which are interested in our business model as well. Let's jump into the balance sheet on page 19. So actually nothing special, no surprises, actually very boring. What you see here is that investment properties, as we mentioned, have grown very rapidly. It's now 276 million. When you add up the latest acquisitions, we actually have investment properties of around 285 million at the moment. On the equity side, we had those two effects. So the capital increase in February, we had an increase by 38 million euros plus the net profit of the fiscal year, 37 million. So we end up with a total equity of the 155 million euros. As we mentioned, bank liabilities have increased as planned. And what we see here is also that we had short-term credit line used for the latest acquisitions, which will be paid back when we have closed the refinancing with our banks. Let's jump into income statement. Also, nothing special. Also, very boring. What we see is the rise in rental income. But this is a period matching effect here. So at the end of September, the run rate of the portfolio was actually roughly 25 million euros, which are locked in into the next fiscal year, which just has started. Coming to page 21. Here you can see the FFO reconciliation. So we started here with total period income, have deducted all one-off effects, non-cash effects, and also the unrealized valuation gain, and end up with an FFO of 10.3 million euros, which have increased by roughly 83% compared to prior year. Also, NAV, very unspectacular, is at Deutsche Consum because we don't have any special effects like deferred taxes or hedged financial instruments. It's actually total equity divided by the number of shares at the end of the year, and we end up with 6.26 euro. That's from my side. So,
thank you, Christian. I think this is the time where we are happy to take any questions, if there are any.
Thank you. Now we will begin our question and answer session. If you have a question for our speakers, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask a question. If you find your question answered before it's your turn to speak, you can dial 02 to cancel your question. If you're using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. One moment, please, for the first question. The first question comes from Heiko Zipper. The line is now open. Please go ahead, sir. Your line is now open. You can ask your question, sir.
Is it me? Kai Klose?
Yes.
Oh, sorry, I didn't understand my name. First of all, good morning, first of all. Secondly, could you indicate or give some more details on the lease extensions which you managed towards the last fiscal year, how the agreed rents per square meter have come out? Was it above or in some cases below your expectations, and how the lease activities have been reflected by the appraisers in the portfolio revaluation. And then the second question, could you please define a bit more specifically how you, the one weight in FFO, I think this is a new number which you have been now showing here with the full year results. So what is the definition that we can track that also in the future? And then another question, you showed on page 13 the tenant structure. On the right-hand side, the lease expiry profile, what does 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 mean? Is it a lease maturity or is it the amount of leases expiring in the current, in the ongoing fiscal year? Thank you.
Thank you, Kai, for those questions. If we start with the back, what you see in the lease expiries, this is kind of counting from today, basically. So what you see here expiring in year one is anything that actually legally expires in year one, and anything that could be determined within 1 year. So as you know, there's many contracts in Germany, especially the smaller ones, that simply are until further notice, and either side can terminate, say, with 3, 6, or 9 months notice. So they are included here. And you will also have the one that is within 2 years. There's almost half of that is the key lease with Real in Erfurt, which is currently under extension negotiation. The leasing in general is the way we typically work is that we don't normally seek the lease extensions by the anchors ourselves, but we only speak to the non-anchors about lease extensions. Why do we do that? Because we want to make sure that the anchor tenants come to us first. And of course, if the location is right, then they will eventually come to us because they know that for bigger space in particular, it's not easy to get a new building permit. And if any competitor wants to grow at the expense of another competitor, he needs to take out somebody. And therefore, if a location works, then it's in the interest of the key anchor tenants to extend. And we typically wait for them to come, and then we extend. And for all the others, for the smaller ones, we very proactively have a conversation where we basically say, well, look, we've just extended the key anchor tenant. Now this is a better location. Now your rent has to go up and your lease needs to be extended. And that, so far, since inception of the company, we have not had a single case where an anchor tenant lease happened at a rent below the previous rent. So far, not yet at all. Of course, it can happen, and I'm sure it will happen, and it's completely priced into our business model. So far, that hasn't happened. In the vast majority of the cases, the anchor tenant's leases are simply extended at exactly the same terms as before. So the rental growth we have from anchor tenants typically is the inflation link and not more, not less. However, we see the rental growth from the non-anchor tenants, in particular in the weaker locations, Bitterfeld is a good example, where after we kind of added Rewe and DM with 15 and 12 years respectively, we were able to increase the rents for the others quite significantly. So that's maybe a bit some color on the on the rents. The run rate FFO is something that I've seen many US companies, many US REITs report. I think it's quite a neat number because the way we define this is basically we take the current rental income. Then we annualize it for all those assets that have been in the portfolio for less than the full 12 months. So we add that, then we deduct anything where we've sold something and apply the same margin across the board so that the run rate FFO is a number that effectively shows you what this business is generating if we do nothing. So if we don't sell anything, if we don't buy anything, if we don't release anything, if we don't asset manage anything, then the run rate FFO tells you what the business is throwing off today.
So if I may ask you a follow-up question on that, what in this context, how do you then apply for the expiries in the respective year? These expiries in the respective year to come up to the run rate.
In the run rate, we assume that they don't expire. So that we extend them. So we take the current contracted rent and annualize it.
And then you expect to be extended at the currently contracted rent.
We expect more actually. But in the math for the run rate FFO, we assume that the rent stays the same simply.
Okay. Good. Thank you.
Thank you. We have received another question from Thomas Effler, Auto BHF. Your line is now open.
Yeah, good morning. Just have a first question regarding your CapEx for your portfolio and for the new acquisitions. Do you have a target for the current year to reduce the vacancy, and what is kind of the target for the vacancy reduction for the current year?
We don't have top-down targets for that. We work completely bottom-up, asset by asset. What typically happens is, of course, that within the first 12 months, we spend more on CapEx than we would do afterwards, and therefore the CapEx rate should just purely mathematically decrease over time, and therefore also the delta between FFO and AFFO should decrease, and so the AFFO should rise closer to FFO. That's simply because we buy undermanaged assets, and therefore we typically list that we have to fix within the first 6, 9, 12 months. But of course, we take into consideration when fixing the purchase price and negotiating the purchase price. But there's no budget as such, or there's no plans or no targets. It simply is completely bottom up. And for the vacancy, approximately just over half of our vacancy comes from specific situations like Greifswald and other assets where we purchased vacancy with a view to actively reduce it. We will always have some vacant space. I would reckon that if we finished the asset management on all our assets, our vacancy probably would be between 4 and 5%. And those are vacant spaces where it's simply not economical to do anything. For instance, some spaces can no longer be properly accessed by customers or by goods traffic because there have been mistakes when the building permit was done in the 1990s. So that happens rarely, but occasionally. Or the shop format has changed and it's not economical to fix things. Or we have vacancy due to new fire protection regulations, etc., etc. And it also sometimes happens that when the shopping centers have two or more stories, that the space on the second floor has never been let since construction, and that can be the case when the city insisted upon having building permits with two stories, knowing very well that it's uneconomical to have retail on the second floor. Therefore, officially, that's sometimes office space, although nobody would ever take an office in some of these locations, obviously. So therefore, there's a proportion, I would say, 4 to 5% of the vacancy that is likely to remain vacant forever, for like intentionally.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But all our math, all business plan, the valuation, and the yield, all the numbers we quote, they're always based on the rent in place.
Okay. Second question regarding your financing cost. You mentioned after the refinancing, you're planning with the 30 million loan and then another 60 million new loans, you come to 2%. So can we assume then the marginal cost is kind of 1.5% in this range, or what is the cost for new loans?
Yeah, I think basically as Christian has explained earlier, what we have done when we started the business, we have taken loans where we've taken 7 or 10 year loans, but we only fixed the interest rate for 2 years, for instance, mm-hmm. with the view that we were hoping and expecting to get better terms from our banks as we grow and have some track record. Now, as Christian has said, that has actually happened. So you're absolutely right. The margin has come down. For the first loans, we had to accept margins of approximately 250 basis points. The loans that Christian is currently negotiating have margins closer to 160 to 170 basis points. So the cost of debt is dropping almost a point just by margin contraction alone.
Good, perfect. Another question regarding your mention the your firepower. Is now mainly kind of done by leveraging up, or is there kind of then probably the next step another capital increase planned?
Well, a capital increase is never planned, obviously.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you would have published something. A REIT, any REIT that wants to grow has to do so by capital increases, yeah. Because we can't really retain earnings because we distribute 90% of the earnings as dividends, and we have a leverage ceiling by law, but also by our target. So if our pipeline remains as fantastic as it is, we will eventually come to the market with a new capital increase, but it's been our long-standing policy of only doing that if and when we have the pipeline ready and not the other way around. But also we have a number of loans that we are going to draw down the next days and weeks of the assets we bought earlier this year. As you know, we purchased the assets out of existing cash or out of equity effectively, now drawing down the loans, and so that gives us a bit more firepower for the remainder of the year, and then everything else is simply a function of how fantastic the pipeline is. If it's really fantastic, we will have to consider a capital increase, of course. We will only do so when we have you know all the ducks lined up, basically.
And the guidance you give, the FFO guidance, is it mainly what kind of new acquisitions assumed with this for the upper end of the FFO guidance, or how many what is the volume you're planning for the current year?
Well, we're basically assuming that we're sticking to our purchasing run rate as now, so between 70 and 100 million euros acquisitions.
Acquisitions, okay.
Has this answered your question?
Yeah, that's fine. Thank you for the time being.
Thank you. We have received a follow-up question from Kai. Your line is now open.
Yes, hi. It's one quick follow-up question on regarding page 13 with the debt expiry. Just to remind us, 2017, does it mean calendar year 17 or is it your fiscal year 17-18?
Just calendar year.
12 months.
No, it's actually 12 months rolling. Yeah. So on page 13, the rent expiries. So they're, the one means anything in the next 12 months from 1st of November.
Sorry, sorry again? No, I was asking about 13, the lease expiry schedule. I was on the wrong page. I was actually talking about the debt expiry schedule, so I was on the wrong page. There's also mentioned 2017. The 13 million of debt expiry in 17. Is it December 17 or is it, let's say, September 17?
That's not debt expiry as such. It's just the expiry of the interest rate fixing period, and that particular 13 million is one single loan that we are refinancing as we speak, and that would otherwise expire on the 31st of December.
Okay. And and 18 is the same. Also the 16.4 million, 18.4 million for 2018 is also an interest rate fixing to be done by year end 18.
That's right, yes. That's right.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you. At the moment, there are no more questions. As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. As a final reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. There's another question from Thomas Effer, Oddo BHF. Your line is now open.
Yeah, just a follow-up question regarding your operating expenses. This year was roughly 25% of your rental income, slightly up compared to last year. Is that a number we can calculate with for the current year, or what is the main driver?
That will definitely improve. I mean, as you know, the biggest proportion of that is effectively service charge leakage, which is due to vacancy on the one hand, but also through all sorts of issues when you take over undermanaged assets, and that's something we should get a handle on within the first 12 to 18 months, typically.
Good. Thanks.
Thank you. There are no more questions. I will hand back to the speakers.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks very much, everyone, for your time. If there are any more questions, please feel free to email us, and we're happy to help. Otherwise, thanks a lot for your time and interest. Speak soon. All the best.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attendance. This call has been concluded. You may now disconnect.